This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
To find our next guest with us, we've got Blake Northfield here, who is a producer and has just produced a film called Streamline, which we'll talk about. Welcome to the show, Blake.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. Now, Blake, before we actually talk about the movie, just a little bit of background on you, if that's all right. So how did you get started in the film industry? And so where did your love for the films come about?
Yeah, and why would you? That crazy world of films, which is so tough to get the money.
Oh, I know. I very much know. I started out, I left school. Look, if I go right back, school was sort of stuck around year 11 and 12, the love of the drama classes, which led into I'd like to explore a career as an actor. And I wasn't particularly the best actor, but I had the determination.
Good on you.
Thought they were. So after about 6 years of doing every single job under the sun in Sydney, I decided to... I'm from... the Northern Rivers in New South Wales. So I went down there and had a crack at it, and I realised it's going to be a bit harder than I thought. So I went on this adventure to make my first film to give myself a role as such. Jim Robertson. Yeah, so through that exploration, we went to Cannes Film Festival. We thought, well, where do people look like they make movies? Where does that journey begin? And everyone sort of seems to be in Cannes. So we flew over there and pretty much just lied and manipulated our way into every single meeting we shouldn't have been in.
I was going to ask you, Cannes is obviously a very, the big arena, big stage. How do you get yourself sort of in there and be noticed, basically? Lie and cheat, I suppose.
You pretty much at that time, we made it out that we were much more, we made it out like we were established filmmakers, basically. Not two guys on Centrelink who've just taken out a loan to come to Cairns to try and get their first film up.
Well, that just goes to show you, I suppose sometimes a lot of bravado is really what you need, isn't it? Just speak with confidence, basically.
That's it. And we would find out where certain parties were, where there were people in there that were people that we would need to develop a relationship with. Mad Max had just premiered, and we sort of found a little way to get ourselves tickets to the actual premiere of Mad Max. And it was the one of the most incredible evenings of our life. And we were thinking, well, there's got to be an after party after this where the people... And then they were like, well, there has to be the after party, the actual one we need to get to. And we found out where it was, and we pretended to be, for some reason, really angry at each other. And we barged our way through security arguing at each other because it seemed to be what all the arrogant, egotistic American producers would do, just walk around yelling at people. So we were like, let's just yell at each other, get through, they're not going to stop us. We did, and we got ourselves into the room with every single person. Anyway, the story short, we found the funds to get up our first film, which was called Out of the Shadows, and I think through that process, we came back and shot it in the Northern Rivers. I realised I much more preferred putting the things together than being in front of the camera, and so we set up the production company, and yeah, I've just not looked back, really.
Now. Sorry, David. I was just going to ask you, Blake. I know this is probably going right back to basics, but when you produce a film, you're a producer, and when you sort of see when someone like me, layperson, you see all the credits roll and all the various roles that take place, producer, executive producer, all the various things. What does a producer actually do? I mean, what where do you start, and what do you actually have to do to get a film up and running?
With the roles. If you see executive producer, it's two or one, it's one or two things. It's someone who's helped finance the film.
Yep.
or they've contributed so greatly to you to help you get the film up, that you provide them with that credit. They don't actually ever really have any control or input into the film itself. It's sort of a misleading term.
Yeah.
And then with the producer, you might, these days, you have actors that have that credit they've asked for, even though they haven't physically done it, but their name has helped bring on the whatever. So with the producing side of things, I would look at it more, a bit, if I'm going to compare it, say, to real estate, to say I've got an idea to develop a big block of land and create a bunch of apartments. I have to go and raise the funds to do that, and then have to employ all the people to do that for me. And I have to convince all the investors into that we're going to own this sporadically, like a proportion pari passu with our money that's been put in. And then we find the architects, the designers, everyone to put the whole thing together, and at the end of it we employ the salespeople to begin selling the blocks off.
That's a very good analogy.
Yeah, a very good analogy. But the thing is, though, Blake, that, and we hear about it so much on this show because we've been going for years now, and we speak to a lot of film people, it's such a tough world. How do you keep on lifting yourself, you know, like, here we go again, you know, we've just got that film out and you know, like a few years down the track, and it takes years to get it off the ground, doesn't it? You know, how do you keep yourself motivated?
It's you've got to be, I think you have to have that personality that is a sort of dust yourself off, get back up again, let's go, and you also have to love it. Like, I think that's paramount.
Okay, true.
I didn't come into this from the business, let's make money point of view, and I think those producers that did have a really hard time sort of continuing to make films.
Yeah.
Because I think I came just to make the film in the first place, and through doing so, I figured out how to do it, and I've just replicated it. But I think it's tenacity. You've just got to go at it and go at it and go at it and get up, and you get thrown so many obstacles that should be the end of your movie. And I think the number one thing is everybody's replaceable. And that was the thing that I would hang up too much on the first few films, about losing a certain person or whatever it was. And the reality is there's 10 people behind them ready to fill that job, and the person you end up with is probably the one that was always meant to have the role in the first place.
Oh, a good way to look at it. All right, well, let's talk about this film that and how long it's taken for you to get it off the ground. Yeah, just give us a rough idea there. How long?
Well, I won't make it sound a little bit harder than it is. We have a finance model with Fronty Pictures. If we commit to a film from script stage, we're yet to have a film not be in production 12 months later.
Oh, so good on you.
The average film the producer turns over in the country is on every, I think it's one every 4 years. We just keep them really sort of tight and conservative with locations. We really try and find sort of a script that works to be able to not blow out the budget ridiculously and therefore needing to spend another 12 months raising the funds, etc.
Yeah.
And with that, so with this film, the director, Tyson Johnson, pitched it over the phone in 2018. We then contracted him to write the first draft of the script from what his pitch was. So he went ahead and did that. And we started casting, putting all the pieces together, and we're in production November 2019 and completed this at the end of last year.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. And what's it called?
It's called Streamline. It's a story about a 15-year-old who's sort of the next big swimming prodigy, the next world champion to be.
Okay.
Everybody's talking about him. He's at a meet, and his father, who used to be an abusive father, is released from prison and turns up abruptly at a meet without any sort of warning. And this is in the lead up to the Olympic Games trials, and it sort of just throws him completely out of whack, and all the memories come back, and he goes a little bit off the rails, and he doesn't really want to swim at all, right at the point when he needs to be swimming at his best. And yeah, it's a journey about sort of he needs to deal with the problems he has with his father to get that right before he can even focus on anything else in his life.
Okay. And I believe you were talking about executive producers, and I know that there is one that's a certain person that a lot of people know, Ian Thorpe. Is that right?
And he has a cameo too, I read too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so there's an instance where I said they either do so much to help you get the film up or they put the funds in themselves. Yep. Ian came on and was on set when we were swimming the swimming things. And the smallest detail, like we have to make sure the details are correct. And so an example was if Levi Miller, the leading boy, would just walk up to the blocks and would jump in and be like, all right, guys, let's try it like this. This is how we would approach it. And if your feet are on the blocks, position like this.
Oh, okay.
Just to make sure that everything looked appropriate. Yeah. And then on the second side of that, it was the fact we had a lead guy who's a 15-year-old next best thing, and we thought, well, who's one of the only people that know what's like to be the best in the world at that age? And it was Ian. So psychologically, he could prepare the actor for the stress, the negative side of things, as well as the positive that you experience being so young.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was fantastic with what he helped us with, the information, the knowledge he had.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. I can't wait to see it. It sounds like a fascinating film. And the wonderful thing is it's part of MIFF here in Melbourne, and it's showing on the 12th of August. Is that right?
Yeah. No, not the 12th. It's been pushed. So MIFF got pushed a week, so it's now on the 19th.
Oh, okay.
At the Comedy Theatre, and there's a few other screenings. There's five screenings there. So it's something for people who have been in lockdown and everything you guys have gone through to probably go out and just pop a glass of champagne and enjoy a really good drama. Like, it's a really good, solid Aussie flick, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. A few of the actors will be there on the evening, and there'll be a Q&A afterwards for all the questions for them. And yeah, I think it's just a nice, refreshing break to get out of the house and enjoy and celebrate.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So that's the 19th of August.
Correct. Yeah. Right. At the Comedy Theatre in Melbourne.
Right. Okay. And what about a general release around Australia? When's that?
The general release is September 3. It hits the cinemas. And then after that, fast forward a few weeks, and it'll be on Stan. So we've pre-sold it to Stan, and yeah, it'll do the natural sort of progression. We've been lucky enough to have it all quite close to one another, so the festival run and the theatrical release.
And Blake, how important is that now with the streaming companies that you can get a film up and probably making a little bit more money than you would out of going into cinemas? Is that true?
You don't make any more you make a lot less money, though. What you do have is a larger audience. It's a great opportunity for films that otherwise wouldn't have gotten a decent theatrical release.
Okay.
So, which is most Aussie films, say there's 45 roughly Aussie films made a year, probably about 10 of them actually get a proper theatrical release in the country.
Yeah.
So for the rest of them, it's a fantastic situation because you're getting your film viewed by 11 million people if they want to watch it.
Yeah.
Financially, though, you're biting the bullet because that's the end of your run. There's no further avenues to pass. Yeah. Whereas if you go outside of that, there's multiple avenues. Yeah.
And what about internationally? What are you doing there?
Well, the film will launch at Toronto Film Festival in the marketplace for sales there. And we'll do is start selling it to the different territories, different countries. The example would be Eastern Europe or particular countries within that territory itself. It just sort of comes up to the distributor and who bites.
All right. Well,
for the right amount.
Well, all the very best with it. It's called Streamline. And it's starting at MIFF and then going nationally on the 3rd of September. Blake, lovely talking to you, and all the best in the future, and a ballsy career you've got yourself.
Bit like you fellas, hey?
Yeah.
Nothing, We don't do the mundane. We've got to look outside the box a little bit and have some fun.
Absolutely.
Certainly do.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Blake.
All right. Thanks for having us, guys.
No problems. Thanks. We've been talking to Blake Northfield here on Joy 94.9 Sunday afternoon.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.